thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports, and sorry for the delay. Technical difficulties. We're back on. 5 minutes late. 5 minutes late. We're here live. When you listen to Urban Sports, and myself, Wally, my boy Ray Jeezy. What's up, Ray Jeezy?
What's up, family? Happy Thanksgiving. Belated Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is, right? Well, you know what? I have an issue though with y'all, man. You all know that, you know, like during the weekend, my Michigan Wolverines are playing.
Oh. Oh, we were texting during the game?
Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
No, how are you going to bother me when this game is in doubt?
I'm not even going there. Look, it was good seeing you, though. This is the second time I've seen you in a few days for our annual Thanksgiving Eve get-together. It's a tradition, just like the pregame.
Oh, that was a good one.
Good segue, right?
I like that one.
Hashtag segue.
Here are our topics. We'll have Lex Diamonds from groundbreaking sports to discuss the Washington Redskins' loss against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, 31-26. At 8:20, we'll preview the Redskins' Arizona Cardinals game, which is going down Sunday. At 8:35, we'll have Kobe Jacobino, Washington Wizards insider for Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia, to discuss Bradley Beal's strong play of late. We'll make our Week 13 NFL picks and fantasy picks at 8:45. And at 8:55, we'll discuss Ohio State beating Michigan over the weekend, which Ray and Will text about it while I was depressed. And finally, we'll discuss Andre Ward defeating Sergey Kovalev a couple weeks ago. We didn't get a chance to discuss that. But first off, we're going to talk to our homie Lex Diamonds from Groundbreaking Sports. Lex, what's going on, my man?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. How you guys?
We're good, man. We're good. Obviously, you know, Lex, we talked about this via the text messaging, how disappointing Thanksgiving Day was. You know, Ray, not being a Skins fan, pretty much felt pretty happy about it.
Doesn't bother me a whole lot. I'm an Atlanta fan, and the Falcons won, so I'm having a good week. Whenever your team wins, it makes the week a lot better.
Well, it wasn't good for Lex and myself, so I don't get
Well, Thanksgiving was good. Lex just said it. Lex said, I wish Thanksgiving to Christmas lasted a month.
Oh my God! Hey Lex, real quick, let's get into it. Why did the Redskins lose to the Cowboys, in your opinion?
I don't know what's going on with the Redskins losing to the Cowboys this year. I mean, when you look at the stats, they dominated pretty much every category with the exception of rushing yards and rush per average. I mean, they got over 500 plus yards in the game. Kirk Cousins had a phenomenal passing game. Yet the Redskins, for some odd reason, lose to the Cowboys by 5. Doesn't make any sense.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because the Redskins had more first downs than Dallas. They outgained Dallas. Penalties were even. One punt the entire game, and yet you still lose. You know why? Red zone. Red zone is the biggest problem, in my opinion, and it shocks me that Sean McVay is now being touted as this hot candidate for a head coaching job, when to me that's a glaring weakness, and to me it falls squarely on his shoulders. What do you think about the offensive coordinator?
I mean, I agree. I mean, Washington was 2 of 5 in the red zone. Dallas was 100%, 4 for 4. We don't have a plan, you know, once we're inside that 20-yard line. I mean, we try to run the fade, you know, we look for Jordan Reed. I think everybody is kind of keying on that. So we really don't have that, you know, that go-to play that we can go to in the red zone. And I think that really hurts us, you know, because it forces us to try to kick field goals. You saw in the Green Bay game, you know, because of the, you know, the weather, you know, we had an issue with the wind, but we couldn't kick field goals. So, you know, in Dallas, you know, the issue was Jerry Jones decided to open up the roof, you know, and let the sun shine in. So, field goal kicker, you know, he missed the field goal. And I tell you, the Redskins, if they want to be considered a top team, if they want to be, you know, if they want to get to that next level, they have to finish in the red zone.
Absolutely. So that's just my shot, my, I guess, to Sean McVay, who is being labeled and touted as an offensive guru. If you're going to be a guru, your team has to score in the red zone, especially right before the half. That was frustrating to watch as a casual fan of the Redskins. But field goal casual kicking fan. Obviously was an issue. I still root for the home team, sure. Yes, that's what I mean by casual fan.
But I mean, I'm different when it comes to why the Redskins lost this game. Ray's going to mention the red zone deficiencies. But for me, I had an issue with the onside kick. DeSean Jackson just had a 67-yard touchdown reception. Give the defense an opportunity to make a play. Just kick the ball off. They chose not to. Did you have an issue with that play?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Redskins have a really good football team. The problems that I see with the Redskins, they can't stop the run.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the biggest issue. They don't have any, in my personal opinion, they don't have any playmaking linebackers. They miss, you know, the guys, you know, that middle linebackers that made plays back in the day, the Monty Colemans and the Neil Okowitz and the outside great linebackers like the LeVar Arringtons and the Wilbur Marshalls and those type guys. They miss playmaking linebackers, Ken Harvey. We don't have that guy to be a playmaking linebacker to help us shut down these running games. I mean, if we can get in a situation where we don't play a team with a dominant running game like Dallas, because Ezekiel Elliott, by far, I mean, he's been doing it since Ohio State. I mean, he's a great running back in the making.
Lex, you know, we got a problem, man.
Why'd you mention Ohio State? Why'd you do that? I'm trying to get over Michigan, Ohio State. Are you going to do this to me now, Lex? Really?
I'm not going to do it to you, but I'm just saying Ezekiel has been running the same way since college. I mean, he runs straight. If you watch him, he runs straight up the middle, and he runs straight to the hash mark. That's what he does, and he's gone. You're not catching.
Feed me.
And we don't have those playmakers on, you know, on the front seven.
Yeah,
really
I agree.
To impact the game, and that's one of the glaring weaknesses, I think, for this Redskin team. That's not saying that they can't make it to the playoffs and make it, you know, far in the playoffs, but they still are going to have to figure out how to stop the run because Dallas is not going anywhere.
Feed me.
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene, my man Ray G's and myself, Wally. We'll tease out. We have Lex Diamond from Groundbreaking Sports. Lex, you mentioned the linebacking core, and I have an issue with a particular linebacker in Will Compton. I believe in an inside backer, he makes no plays. We saw a couple times in the first series he whiffed on Ezekiel Elliott when he had an opportunity to make a play in the backfield. Do you feel that he's the starting inside backer in this league, or the Redskins are just glorifying him?
I personally think, and I'm going to say it again, I think the Redskins, when the draft comes around, they need playmaking linebackers. I'm not going to throw any linebackers under the bus that's currently on the roster, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say they need some playmaking linebackers. When we look at the total tackles, you know, we don't have those guys that stand out as, you know, double-digit tackles, you know, per game. Those are the type of guys we need. You know, we need guys that force some turnovers. You know, you look at the guys out in Denver, the Von Millers and the DeMarco Wares and those guys, we really don't have that type of player out there. The Raiders, the young Raiders football team, they've got playmakers up front. We need a playmaking linebacker to really help this defense. I think the secondary is sufficient. I think the defensive line is sufficient, but I just think we need some really good linebackers to help this team get to the next level.
We just got two angry tweets from LeVar Arringtons and London Fletcher, because you didn't mention them, by the way.
He mentioned LeVar Arringtons.
Oh, you did?
He didn't say London Fletcher.
So.
I forgot London Fletcher.
Yeah, he said LeVar, though.
Let me reply to LeVar and let him know that you did mention him. But you didn't mention London Fletcher. Anyway, Will Compton earned the job. I mean, he's playing hard. His talent is questionable, but you can't question a man's heart and his effort. I know you need more than that in games like this. And in the second half, Ezekiel Elliott did not have the same type of game that he did in the first half, if I'm saying that correctly.
Rudy had heart, too. In Notre Dame, Rudy had heart. I'm just saying. Rudy had heart.
You don't always have to be the most talented.
You don't, but you have to make a play.
I think, to be honest with you, I think the defensive line is not the best either. Like, Chris Baker, as good as he is at times, he's terrible in the run game, you ask me.
He's more of a pass.
Exactly. So the issues are bigger than just Will Compton. I think Will Compton, unfortunately, has been left on the island a few times because the holes have been so wide open. And Dallas, they're a good running team in general. And their quarterback play helps their running game. So that's a difficult team to stop in general.
But to Lex's point, he's talking about the Redskins don't have an impact linebacker, period. Who's that guy that can help you shut things down? Obviously, you want to think of Ryan Kerrigan could be that guy. But, you know, I call him Ryan Kerrigan more of a streaky player. When he goes in, when he gets on a run, he gets on a run. Then when he's quiet, he's quiet.
Well, I would agree with Lex. As far as, you know, him talking about the draft, the Redskins definitely had a good draft this past season, and I think they'll do the same thing. They'll address the need. So that way you guys can't complain about it. My goodness.
Hey, but, hey, Lex, so obviously Josh Norman, Dez Bryant, this trash-talking warfare has gone on way too long. Did you have an issue with what Dez Bryant said about Josh Norman saying that, you know, the Redskins should get their money back?
Hey, come on, man. That's good theater, man. I mean, you can't take the fun out of the league. I mean, it's bad enough. They don't want the guys to celebrate in the end zone. You know, let the guys do their little WWF impersonation.
Oh, yeah, that's popular.
It makes for good sport. You know, trash talking has always been part of sport, in my opinion. So I don't have a problem with it. You know, they'll see each other a third time when the Redskins make the playoffs as a sixth seed.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we'll see what happens the third time. Yeah, I mean, the Redskins are close. It's not like Dallas is, like, blowing them out like they blew out,
yeah,
you know, Baltimore and some of those other teams. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Dallas both times. And, I mean, when you look at the stats, they led them in time of possession. They had over 500 yards total offense. I mean, they're right there.
Say it again, Lex. The Cowboys fans have been celebrating like it was a blowout. That frustrates me. That is one of the most annoying fan bases ever. I think Roger Goodell is going to crack down, though, because Norman and Dez Bryant are backtracking now on what was said and what wasn't said. And by the way, Dez Bryant was responding to Norman on last Thanksgiving when Norman was with the Panthers saying that the Cowboys need to get their money back. So that's all that was. No big deal, though.
Oh, that's what he was doing.
Well, yeah. You know, Norman has had an issue with all the receivers pretty much.
It seems like it. He had nothing. He didn't have an issue with AJ Green because AJ Green was giving him that work.
AJ Green don't talk. He let his play speak for him, you know. So that's good for himself. I mean,
Norman had a tough. He had a tough schedule. I mean, you had AJ Green. You had Antonio Brown. You got to deal with Odell Beckham twice, and you got Dez Bryant twice. I mean, that's pretty tough situation. You got Diggs over Minnesota, and you got the Green Bay, their receiving core. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't had it easy.
Oh, not at all, not at all. So, right. So, in your opinion, can this team afford to lose any more games to make it to the postseason?
The Redskins can't afford to lose any games. Maybe one game, but. You know, at this point, they're competing with the Giants, who are two games ahead of them. They're competing against, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay. I mean, they do have to tiebreaker with those two teams, but, you know, they still have to, you know, have a better record than them. Carolina, you know, as far-fetched as it may sound, they're still a dark horse. They could finish 9-7 and be a possible threat if these teams start stumbling down the stretch, which is very possible. And then you got out west, you got Arizona, who has struggled most of the year. They were a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. So they're kind of like in the mix. So it's a big game coming up on Sunday for the Redskins because they need these tiebreaker games against the conference. And don't sleep on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay
totally agree.
Probably shocked the world by beating Seattle last week. You know, they could possibly squeak into that little that sixth spot and give Washington some competition.
So Lex, how can our time's running short? So Lex, how can folks catch your content and reach you on social media?
Well, you know, we do. I broadcast with Heritage Sports Radio Network. Also, you can catch Groundbreaking Sports. We're doing different things. We also got a lot of things going on in the music side. Groundbreaking Music. One of our artists, Casino Male, he just released a song with Gucci Man that's really popular, so go download that. That's a banger if you're into hip-hop. But you can follow me if you want. It's Lex Diamonds without the A on Twitter, Instagram, and most social media platforms, and I'm still learning this Snapchat. They call me Lex Dimes on Snapchat. I'm still learning. I had my little cousin teaching me some things at Thanksgiving dinner. So hopefully I'll become an expert soon.
I dig that. Hey, Lex, thanks for joining us, being our guest. We always appreciate you. Hopefully we'll have you next week with a Redskins victory.
Hey, man, you guys pull me out of my sadness because I've been sad all week.
You.
Because we lost to the Cowboys, and like you said, I'm forced to watch the Dallas Cowboys fans dance around and prance around like they won the Super Bowl. I just want Tony Romo to come back. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully that does happen. All right, Lex, man. Take it easy, my man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, that was Lex Diamond from Groundbreaking Sports Radio, Groundbreaking Sports, and also Heritage Sports Radio Network. So make sure you check him out. Man, I like what Lex had to say, man. I appreciate it.
We'll talk more about what he had to say.
We'll talk about what Lex had to say after the break. Also, we'll preview the Redskins Arizona Cardinals game. You listen to Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Hey, Will, where you at? Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Solon Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I think your girl posts a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here with my homeboy Ice Ray.
Ray. Okay.
I know, right?
I'll take
I'm
that
in my Rage. Ray Jeezy.
Like
Will T is out on vacay. Well, actually, he couldn't make it out of town, but hopefully we'll have the three man weave back.
What else is new?
And he didn't win this week either. He had the worst record this week, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that yet.
We'll
talk about it when the time comes, but yeah. That always happens.
It always happens. And we are on Twitter. Just tweet us at Urban Sports C. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports C Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right, before we before we preview the Redskins Arizona Cardinals game, did you have anything you disagree with Lex?
I'll reiterate that I like, you know, where Lex is going as far as the Redskins needing to upgrade on defense. And I feel like the Redskins had a good draft last season, especially Sewell Cravens. He's great. He's having a good, solid rookie year. Great as a stretch. If he wasn't injured, I think, you know, he'll be even more of an impact player as he was early on. So, yeah, continue to upgrade through the draft. Scott McLuhan, a lot of us trust him as far as his knowledge goes when it comes to recruiting and scouting. And see the defense improve would be great.
No, I actually agree with everything. Other than, again, like the red zone being like the main thing, I still have an issue with the onside kick. That's just me, though.
If Belichick does it, people don't question it. It wasn't successful, which really hurts. But if they got that, then everybody would have celebrated that move and said it was a risky move. It was a great move by Jay Gruden. The thing is, though, they didn't need it. I agree with that. I feel like momentum was definitely shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like it either. I didn't like the Wildcat play, by the way, earlier.
I didn't like it myself.
I don't understand why you try gimmick plays in a big game like that. But, you know, Kirk Cousins showing up in primetime back-to-back is great to see his growth.
Agreed.
There was a lot of positive. There was more positives than negatives to take. The biggest negative, though, is that you lost. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a big game. You're right. I agree with that one. Let's preview the Redskins-Cardinals game. What are the keys to victory for the Austin Redskins in this game?
Well, this is sweet because I'm a Falcons fan. I get a chance to kind of squeak the Falcons into the show a bit. And Matt Ryan this past week against the Cardinals only had 8 incompletions. Kirk Cousins is one of the hottest quarterbacks along with David Carr. I'm going to put my man Matt Ryan up there.
Of course. Matt Ryan's an MVP candidate.
And Dak Prescott, obviously. So he's in that discussion. Kirk Cousins definitely, I think, will have a big day. Even if Jordan Reed doesn't play, I know we're supposed to get to that later.
That's
sorry.
Fine. No, you're good. But, That's good.
If your offense performs at the level it did against Dallas, I mean, he's not going to throw over 400 yards. It's hard to do back-to-back weeks. It can happen. I'm just saying, I don't want to predict that. But if your offense puts up those type of numbers, then your defense should be able to do enough against a team that right now is struggling in Arizona.
Yeah, for me, the main thing for the Washington Redskins, the key to victory is to try to contain a David Johnson. David Johnson, to me, is one of the best running backs in the NFL. The guy can catch out the backfield. He can run the ball between the tackles. He's a guy who breaks a lot. He can break tackles. He can make a man miss. He is so versatile for this Arizona Cardinals team. Obviously, you know, you want to contain Larry Fitzgerald, but I think it's the perfect storm in a sense. You have a great running back playing against a team that, like that Lex mentioned, can't stop the run. So for me, I think this team has to try to contain a David Johnson.
Yeah, he's an effective runner. Even with a subpar game against Atlanta last week, he averaged 4.5 yards a carry. That's not the biggest issue for me. Again, red zone offense is the biggest thing. The offense is carrying his team. You can't expect the defense to change at this point in the season. I mean, maybe if you go to the playoffs, you can see the defense step up. The intensity level is higher in the playoffs. But for now, you can't expect much difference. Just blitz. They didn't blitz enough against Dallas. Don't let Carson Palmer have a bunch of time back there, because you know he can pick you apart if you give him time.
No, I agree. But to me, it's not a Carson Palmer thing. I think with Arizona, you're going on the road. You're playing against an Arizona team that is starving for a victory. Carson Palmer has struggled mightily this season. You're going against a team that doesn't stop the run. I just think that if the Arizona Cardinals, I'm running the ball. I am giving this kid 25 plus carries. I will exploit him out the backfield. I will put him on routes, because again, this team, their weakness right now is a strength for the Arizona Cardinals.
So who wins this matchup, Bruce Arians or Jay Gruden? Bruce Arians, he's old school. You know he's going to run the ball.
Yeah, it's up to it. It goes back, can this team contain?
Give me an answer.
I don't know.
Who wins the matchup the coaches? Are you going to back your boy Gruden finally?
I like Gruden. I just don't like that onside kick.
You know what? I'm all about intensity on the sideline. I'm not a Jim Caldwell guy, but I'm a Jay Gruden guy. That going, and he's showing emotion.
He always
show
emotion, though.
That's what I like about him. But he's showing even more passion.
What's emotion when you
doing stupid
crap with
it? It shows that he wants to win.
So if you do something stupid, emotion is great.
Emotion is great all the time.
Onside kick.
Unless it's just ignorant. Unless it's ignorant. If you're Buddy Ryan or Mike Dicker in a 3-13 year, then I'm not feeling you.
Buddy Ryan, I like his aggressiveness. Buddy Ryan's a beast.
Even Hugh Jackson, he's literally in tears about his team right now. I love that. It shows that you care. Versus if you get up there with the stoic face, with the Jason Campbell face, like, I don't care.
See, it always goes back to Jason Campbell.
It does.
It always goes back to
Jason. I'm going to get back on topic.
With emotion, it goes back to
Jay Gruden. Is he at that level now? People are loving this team. The media, the national media, is giving the Redskins so much love. Tony Gonzalez, Bart Scott. I was watching CBS pregame. They're like, the Redskins are a dangerous team. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
If they get to the playoffs.
Well, you know what? The fact that they're in a discussion, I say that in my last blog. Check it out, by the way, urbansportsing.blogspot.com. Trust me. I think the Redskins are on the right track. And I think Jay Gruden is doing a good enough job where he can out-coach some of these better coaches in the league. That's what I'm saying. But you won't go on a limit. And you're a Redskin fan.
I like Arians. I do like Arians. And I like
him too.
I like Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden has grown on me, to be honest with you. But I still have to call it out for what it is. Certain decision making.
Okay, he made
some
one
of the
decision
making's like kind of rub me the wrong way. That's it.
Listen, if it works, you praise him. Right now, Mike Tomlin's getting beat up in Pittsburgh
for 2-point conversion.
But his track record speaks for itself. And Jay Gruden
track record.
Who?
Mike Tomlin.
He got a Super Bowl
with the Bill Cowher team.
So does Tony Dungy. He got a Super Bowl. Hey, you love him, don't you?
I love Tony Dungy. That's my man.
And he's black.
That's black. Not the reason why I love Tony Dungy.
No, I'm just saying. I'm comparing the two black coaches. You're dissing one. You like the other one.
You're right.
Glad the light-skinned guy wins in this. Sorry. Go ahead, dog. This is your boy. You dissing him. He's black and he's chocolate.
I'm for my dark-skinned folk, man. I'm for my dark-skinned folk.
Mike Tomlin is a good coach.
No, he's not. He's an okay coach.
Okay. Jay Gruden, average coach.
I think he's up and coming. I think you can't deny him. He's getting better.
Pick Mike Tomlin, Jay Gruden.
I'm taking
today?
Jay Gruden.
Okay.
No, I'm taking Jay. Cool. At this point in time, I'm taking Jay Gruden. I post on social media, on Twitter and Facebook. Can this team contain David Johnson? So call in. The phone number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Be heard. Let us know. Who do you think? Do you think the Redskins can contain David Johnson on Twitter? My man Redskin Pride said that is the question, isn't it? A lot of people.
Nobody wants to give a direct answer.
You know what I mean?
Like, Redskin fans are the most nervous fan base.
My man Brandon Rogers on Twitter said no.
Great,
they cannot.
Name.
They cannot.
I knew that was coming. That's a simple answer, but why though?
What you mean why?
Because of Will Compton, you are gonna blame it on him? That's what
Will
I want to hear.
Will Compton sucks. That's why you could blame it on Will Compton. And to be honest with you, I mean David Johnson.
Will Compton.
He has 921 yards.
Will Compton is the Jason Witten of linebackers. He's not fast.
Oh, stop it. That's insult.
He's not athletic, but he works hard.
That is a joke.
Jason Witten is not athletic.
He's not.
We've been questioning for years how he gets up. Martellus Bennett, his own teammate,
said
he's not faster than me. He's not more athletic, but somehow he's always open. Will Compton is – look. He's an impact player.
Who?
Will Compton.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
He is.
That is insulting. Listen, to all inside linebackers.
Watch the tape. Do your Ron Jaworski. Go back and watch
the
tape.
I will. I've done the tape.
He's in on every play. He doesn't make every tackle. But he's around.
He can't get off. He can't share blocks.
If he had Larry Foote's athleticism, he'd just be just.
Look, if. It's like if he's the best in the world. Like, that means nothing. He can't get off blocks.
He's Keith Brookin.
He's freaking Charlie Brown. He wants to kick the field goal and falls flat on his face. That's who he is. He is not.
You never have liked Will Compton.
Will Compton
that's why this is so
bum.
Funny. Write a blog about it.
I will. Oh, I hate insulting someone's job. Let me dial it back.
Will Compton is a workhorse.
He's a nice guy.
Feed me.
Look, he's a nice guy. He's one of those people you say you root for. He's a nice guy.
He worked his way up the depth chart.
Real talk, though.
Fat Rob.
Real talk.
And you like Fat Rob.
Real talk. When people say he works hard, that means a lot.
That doesn't mean nothing.
He works hard.
Nobody can sell you on hard work. Nobody.
No, when
I said Bryce Harper worked hard, you're like, I don't care if he works hard.
But Bryce Harper works hard. He's talented. That's the point.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's the point. My point is that he's talented. He makes plays. Bryce Harper makes plays. You tell me Will Compton don't make no play?
Daggone, get the Jordan Reed. Run out of time.
I know, right?
You're killing me. I can't give Will Compton no credit. You ain't like Zeke. Now you gotta like Zeke. Now anyway,
I have to
move on.
I'll never have to like Zeke. He's a freaking.
You have to recognize talent. He's not Reggie Bush. Thank you.
Yeah, he's not Reggie Bush. It's correct.
Who you dissed?
If Jordan Reed was hurt against the Cowboys in that game, but still balled out even with a messed up shoulder. I think it's a sprained shoulder.
Man, sprained AC joint.
Thank you. If he can't play, how does that affect the Redskins offense?
It obviously, as Lex said, I think he's Kirk Cousins' number one option. That's a fact. We all know that.
Yeah.
But Vernon Davis, he's excellent with filling in. Neither one of them can block, so I don't think you miss a beat.
Vernon Davis is a better pass block. He's a better blocker than Jordan Reed, but they're not great. He's not great. I get what you're saying, but he's better in that regard.
Yeah,
not a better route
runner. Thanks for clarifying for me.
Not a better route runner.
They're about the same.
No, speed. Vernon Davis is faster.
Okay,
he's faster.
I'm glad I didn't want to say that. I thought you might argue.
No, Vernon Davis is faster, but he doesn't run. He doesn't run better. He doesn't run better routes than Jordan Reed. But at the end of the day, he has his own way of doing damage on against a defense.
He's a threat.
He's a threat.
And that's the main thing.
And you're getting in a small sample size, you're getting the Vernon Davis in San Francisco.
Jordan Reed, by the way, is going to the Pro Bowl this year. I'm so glad he's gotten to just show his stuff on the national stage back to back. That's just great.
I agree.
I like Jordan Reed.
Yeah, Jordan Reed deserves that work. You know what I mean? Because he's talented and he's a hard worker.
Yeah, you interviewed him and you know he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he's a quiet guy.
Off the mic, though, he's real. He's can't nobody check me.
Oh, yeah, he's real.
But he won't say that in front of
the camera. No, he won't say that in front of the camera. But see, this is the thing. Jordan Reed, I want you to know this. Jordan Reed is a hard worker. And he's talented. Just want you to know that. So I'm letting that be known. Anyway, predictions. Who do you think is going to win this game?
I'm taking the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm taking the Redskins only because I'm a big Skins fan, and this is a must-win. So I'm a homer with this one. I don't even care. I can admit it. Anyway, we're going to have Kobe Jacobino from Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM Hopewell, Virginia, to discuss the play of Washington Wizards shooting guard Bradley Beal after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, for ages, you dig, deuces.
Up, she see the gutty, step up, what's up? life a Godfather picture. Local club in my city, I fell in love with a stripper. No, I'm that top talking photo Bugatti. I'm the life of the party, let's get these seats on the molly. You know I can't stand. So drop that. I got what you want. Drop that. Film it. It's gonna be the film it. Ballin', like I play for New England. Spin it, send a stack every minute. That's 50, 100, I see no quick limits. Shout out to Uncle Luke, shout out my pops too. We the two life crew, two for me, two for you. Beat them Duke carrots, got them like a rabbit. Sorry, that's the habit, smoke a flip it, then I finish.
We're back. You're listening to Urban Sports Team. My man Wally, Ray in the building. Will T is out tonight as usual when he messes up in his picks. We're also on Twitter at Urban Sports Team. Hit us up, no S after sports. And also like our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. Right now, we're talking Washington Wizards. Kobe Jacobino, writer, blogger, our Wizards beat reporter for Fox Sports Hopewell, 1340 AM. What's up, Kobe?
Hey, well, how you been, man?
We've been good, man. Kobe, first off, I see you doing a lot of busy work with Fox. Tell the folks how you've been doing. I mean, what you've been up to with Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia.
Yeah. So just, we're just having complete coverage. We added a few people to the staff. My coworker, Josh Vincent, he's coming out of Chicago, but he travels to a lot of the Wizards road games. I try to hold it down for a lot of the home games. I haven't been able to attend as many as I wanted to, but coming up here in the next couple of weeks and throughout the season, I'll start being there more regularly. But yeah, no, just like any other news outlet, we're there. We're trying to get the inside scoop, and we have plenty of content out on the website.
Sweet. So obviously you're paying close attention to how the Wizards are playing. Finally, they're starting to get some wins, and they're being a little more consistent. Scott Brooks is starting to really mold his team, it looks like. Yamahimi's back, which means they're getting healthy. But Bradley Beal, who had the big contract over the summer, finally over these past five games, he's averaging 29 points per game. How has he been so effective, in your opinion?
You know, it's just really him getting his shots within the flow of the offense. The one thing that's impressed me the most is just how, well, not impressed, because, you know, it kind of what everybody sees Bradley Beal and John Wall as, it's kind of like the perfect complement to one another. I've heard some people say that they don't fit, and I really don't understand that, because, I mean, you got John Wall, a dynamic playmaker who, you know, struggles from shooting from outside, and then you got Bradley Beal, who's also a playmaker, but, you know, I mean, he makes his money shooting from beyond the arc and stretching the defense. So I think when you're, you know, formatting a team, you know, that's the perfect complement to one another. And we're seeing that. We're seeing, you know, Bradley, they're running sets specifically for Brad, whether it's coming off an off-ball screen, you know, slash cut down the middle, or we've seen a lot more, which is a good thing. Brad kind of getting the ball and having an on-ball screen for himself and having him create off the dribble. That was something that we got a hint of last year with Randy Whitman, but now Scott Brooks, he thinks, you know, very highly of Brad, and, you know, he's comfortable putting the ball in his hand. So it's just him, you know, Brad playing the way that we all kind of pictured. We saw it for a hint of last year, you know, in the very beginning. But, he's just playing out of his mind these past five games, and as a result, you know, the Wizards have a 3-2 record and are beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
So do you see any – what have you seen that's been improving in his own personal game?
I think it's just confidence. You know, he's known to being a shooter, but it's a lot of – where he's getting the shots is a lot in transition, and he's trailing. So, you know, John will push it. You know, the defense is still rotating, trying to get back, and then all of a sudden they forget about Brad. He's trailing, and, you know, either John will penetrate and kick out, or John will delay his dribble and let Brad catch up. And then, you know, Brad's guy is about 2 or 3 feet behind the three-point arc, and you know, Brad just lets it go. And that's kind of what you picture for a perfect offense. You know, you got Marquise Morris, an athletic four, kind of, you know, he's staying outside as well, and then you have Gortat if he's not getting the rebound, he's just a rim runner. And he goes and he puts his elbow into the guy's chest once he gets down the floor and tries to seal for a quick post. And, you know, that kind of makes defense sink down. And as a result, you know, Bradley Beal hasn't taken advantage of that. Another thing, I just see, you know, a lot of people, and when I say people, just, you know, like national analysts and stuff have said, you know, John Wall doesn't give Bradley Beal the ball enough. Well, you know, when Beal had his 42-point explosion against the Suns and then even against Sacramento the other night, I mean, it was all from Wall. His penetration, you know, over the top through the baseline, it's like when John's driving, he's doing it specifically to create for Brad. So I think these are all good signs. And, you know, if they can continue to build on this, it'll be good. That's my only concern, though, is can he keep this up? I mean, you know, he's playing 39.4 minutes per game, and it's a guy who's known, you know, to get injured a lot. So I don't know if that's a very comfortable formula to roll with, but, I mean, for now it's working.
Yeah, he's getting tougher, too. He's choking people now. Isn't that amazing? You know, Scott Brooks bringing out that thug in him. You know, maybe he'll have a posse with him. But anyway, I'm not gonna go there right now. Going back to his relationship with John Wall, I think it's more of a media-driven thing personally. However, Jared Dudley, who obviously is no longer with the Wizards, he had a lot of good things to say about both John Wall and Bradley Beal and them playing together as a duo. However, he highlighted that he feels as though they're just work friends. And last time I checked, the most recent pair of quote-unquote work friends was Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they ended up splitting. I'm hoping that's not what happens here in Washington. You just mentioned you were hoping that Bradley Beal can continue this type of play. Well, how does he do that, and how would that, you know, impact what the Wizards do going forward personnel-wise?
It's tough. I mean, I think if Brad keeps putting these numbers up and they keep winning, I mean, as a result, it's not like John Wall's numbers are hurting at all. I mean, he's averaging 23.9 points per game. Before last night, he was averaging 25. You know, on the night that Beal exploded for 42, John Wall ended with 18 points and 15 assists. So it's not like, you know, Beal's taking the bull by the horns and completely dominating the ball, like, say, a Russell Westbrook. I mean, these guys work off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And touching on his relationship, you know, I spoke with Gary Neal, who's also on the team last year. I spoke with him last week, just trying to get, you know, a feel for last year's team. And then, of course, I brought up everything that happened to John and Brad. And, you know, he even said, there's nothing, he didn't notice anything in the locker room going on. Yeah, they might not talk every time out. They might not put their arms around each other, stuff like that. But, you know, he just said it's two young guys who are, you know, potential all-stars. I mean, potential all-star for Brad, already an established all-star if you're John. And they're just trying to find their way in this league. I mean, it's tough. You know, I guess we could compare it to the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, but also, I mean, they're not on that level. You know, they're not on that superstar, top five, top three players in the league level. But it's very rare that you get guys, you know, in the same age bracket or 1, 2, 3 years apart and kind of hand them the franchise, especially when both of them are alpha dog personalities. You know, Kevin Durant had kind of the back seat. You know, he would kind of take the back seat to Russ as he started going, you know, full Russell mode, taking crazy shots and stuff like that. But to address, you know, what happens if this goes to Brad, like I said, they keep winning, I don't think John's going to have a problem with it. Now, you know, if he's hoisting up, 25 shots a game, making six of them, and they're losing to the Sixers, and, you know, they continue a downward spiral, then, yeah, of course, I think John will get antsy. But, you know, I think he's truly a professional in that, hey, man, as long as we're winning, we're in the playoff picture, and we can try and make some noise here. I think he's fine. I haven't heard any rumblings about, you know, even looking to trade him or Brad. So right now I think they're just going with their wits, and Scott Brooks is just doing anything he can to find a winning formula. It's been really, really tough, and it's because of the bench rotation. But you know, he's just got to rely on Brad and John. I mean, I think we could both say if it weren't for those two being together, you know, the Wizards would be down with the Sixers and the Nets and the teams like that.
Well, I appreciate, you know, your perspective. Looking at Bradley Beal's contract, this is why the expectations are so high. So at this stage of the season, which is still early, can we say that it was worth it?
Oh, wait, what'd you say, Raleigh? I'm sorry.
It's Ray.
Well, it's Ray, but I'm just saying, do you think at this stage of the season, can we determine whether Bradley Beal is worth the money he received over the summer?
Yeah, and that's a big conversation going around right now too. I mean, the way he's been playing these past five games, I'd say yes, it's worth every penny. But of course, like I said before, he's injury prone, and you know, he does have the capability of being inconsistent in some games, and if his shot's not falling, then his defense kind of suffers. But you know, the whole thing with his contract, you go back to number one, who else are they going to get? And number two, it's just that it was that time, and that was what the market asked for. I mean, you're not going to, I mean, you know, say they don't sign him, DeRozan's not coming to DC. I mean, who else do you get? And if you don't, like I said, if you don't have Beal on this team, then you expect Kelly Oubre to step up and play significant minutes of the two. That's not a winning formula right now. And, you know, so for them at this moment, you know, it's looking good. Like I said, if he can sustain this level of play, you know, they would look smart to do it. But you know, trying to depend on somebody else, you know, I don't think it would be great. I think for this Wizards team, it's obviously the bench. I think that's the biggest concern right now. Maybe not how much they're spending on Brad. I think because obviously he has put together some historic performances, honestly, in Wizards history. And then, you know, you saw him go off for 7 threes, 13 three-point attempts. We're just seeing him be a lot more aggressive, and I think that's a step in the right direction where you say, you know, hey, he's making more money. He's got to be more consistent in the offense, and he has to be more aggressive with the ball in his hands. That's what we've been asking of him, you know, since his rookie season. And now we're finally seeing him get the ball, be out there with the bench players, get the ball, and kind of take control.
You listen to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally Ray. Right now, we have Kobe Jacobino from Fox Sports Radio 1340, Hopewell, Virginia, the Washington Wizard insider. So, Kobe, do you think this is now the Bradley Beal that we're going to see throughout his career, the guy we saw in the postseason a couple years ago in that series against Toronto?
It's just hard to say. I mean, you know, he has games like this where he looks like a top five, top three shooting guard in the league, you know, dating back to last year. His first five games, he was a top five scorer, averaging 25 points per game. If you remember, he hit the game winner against the Spurs at home. You know, he has these games where he, you know, completely dominates, and then like I said, he'll have a game where he goes, you know, 4 for 17, 3 for 12, and he's kind of non-existent. And I think it's on John's shoulders to just keep him involved. And then, you know, once he sees his first couple shots go in, with any shooter, it's going to be a good night. I think what he has to focus on going forward is continuously getting to the free throw line. He did a really, really good job of that against Miami. He finished 34 points. I mean, he only went to the line 6 times. That's a lot better than usual. And then when he had his 42-point game against Phoenix, he visited the line 11 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's 9 points. So he converted 9 of them. But then the past 3 games, which he still finished with 31, 25, and 14 points respectively, he only had two free throw attempts throughout the 3 games. So, you know, if he can continue to attack the rim and get to the line, it's only going to help his cause, and it's only going to help the Wizards get more wins.
Kobe, we appreciate you for being on the show as always. Kobe, how can people find you on social media and get any of your content? I know you got a podcast too, so I want you to tell people about your podcast as well.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at Kobe G Hoops. I'm also doing some podcasting for Hoops Critic at hoopscritic.com. I just got some interviews with some players. Like I said, I spoke with Gary Neal last week. That's up there. I'll have a couple more players as the weeks come along. You check out my Wizards coverage along with, like I said, my coworker Josh is at FoxSports1340AM.com. And also have, you know, stuff going out, general NBA stuff for Hoops Habit. So, definitely take a look at it. Follow me on Twitter and, you know, let's talk some hoops.
Kobe is the most busiest dude in the show biz. Thanks, Kobe. We appreciate you for being on the show, my man.
Hey, thanks. Thanks again, Wally. Be blessed.
Oh, no problem. Stay blessed, man. All right, man. That was Kobe Jacobino. From Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM Hopewell, Virginia, Washington Wizards insider. You see he's doing big things. Keep blessing them. Keep checking them out. All right, man, we're about to go to a commercial break. When we get back from break, it's time for our NFL picks. We'll discuss that. And Will T, Wilstradamus, is not here. Like Ray said, why isn't he here, Ray?
Oh, because he struggled last week, of course.
All right, you listen to Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
It's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. And now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky.
You are listening to the Urban Sports, my man Ray Jeezy. Myself, Wally Will T is out. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a NFL Pick'em challenge every week with them. We were idle last week, so we're not going to talk about that challenge last week because we didn't pick with them last week. But the week prior, before, you know, during our last show, Ray went 9-5. I went 10-4. Wilstradamus, who's not here today, went 8-6. Will T, this is starting to be a trend. Ray said this is really starting to be a trend. When you lose, you're not here. You're out of town. You're bike riding.
Traveling.
You're traveling.
Something.
Just something. Step up, bruh. Hey, what's the quote, Ray?
Real people do real things.
Exactly, man. Be real, bruh. Anyway, our overall records. Ray is 77, 67, and 2. Will T is 81, 63, and 2. I am 75, 69, and 2. Wally, that's myself, Wally, 75, 69, and 2. Let's get to week 13. First game, Cowboys versus the Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings in the upset.
I'm taking the Vikings as well. Chiefs versus the Falcons.
I'm going to Falcons.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Lions versus the Saints.
I'm taking the Saints at home.
I'm taking the Saints as well. Rams versus the Patriots.
Patriots all day.
Patriots. Broncos versus the Jaguars.
You got to be kidding me. Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Broncos. Texans versus the Packers in Green Bay.
I'll take the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well. Eagles versus the Bengals in Cincinnati.
This is a tough one for me, but I'm gonna stick with the home team, the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals as well. This is a tough one for me as well. But the Eagles, like, they're on a downfall. Dolphins versus the Ravens.
Ravens.
I'm going to go to Dolphins. Niners versus the Bears in Chicago.
Sheesh. Talk about bad.
I know, right?
Bears.
I'm going to go with the Niners. Bills versus the Raiders in Oakland.
I will take the Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders as well. Giants versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
I'm going to the Steelers. We both picked the Redskins against the Redskins. Cardinals, we both picked the Redskins.
Uh-huh.
Buccaneers versus the Chargers.
It's a tough one, but I'll take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chargers as well. Panthers versus Seahawks in Seattle.
Seahawks.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Colts versus the Jets in New York. I'm going with the Colts. All right, give me your fantasy pick for the week, Ray.
Terrence West, running back, Baltimore Ravens. I know he splits carries, but last week, 13 carries, 48 yards, 3 catches out the backfield. You got the league's 30th ranked defense against the run in Miami Dolphins coming to town this week. Terrence West should get 1 to 2 goal line touchdowns in addition to his regular touches throughout the game, in the passing game and the running game.
Ray is like the fantasy football guru when it comes to stats. Actually, I asked the truth, though. I'm not stalling time. I'm picking DeSean Jackson. The last couple of weeks, he's had good outings.
Yeah.
The game against the Green Bay Packers, he had 51 yards and a touchdown catch. The game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, he had a touchdown and he had 118 yards, including a 67-yard touchdown reception. So it looks like the Redskins are getting him involved. And he's a guy who actually not too long ago got out on Patrick Peterson when they played the Arizona Cardinals. But I don't expect Patrick Peterson to be following him throughout the game because I don't think he's going to get that type of attention because of Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed, and Vernon Davis and so forth. So I'm looking at DeSean Jackson to be that guy.
Don't forget about Jamison Crowder.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. And Jamison Crowder.
He's evolving, boy.
No, you're right. You're right. You're totally right about that. Jamison Crowder is becoming very versatile for the Washington Redskins.
Absolutely.
Maybe I should use him. Maybe I should pick him as a fancy wide receiver.
He's developing into that slot receiver.
He really is.
That you know you want it on your fantasy team. That you never know he can get you, especially PPR league.
Oh yeah, touches too. Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. But anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're gonna talk about another football story that's near and dear to my heart, the Michigan Wolverines. They took an L to the Ohio State Buckeyes. I call them a different name term. The Fab Five calls them this too as well. Anyway, listen to Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My boy Ray, myself, Wally, Will T is out of town. Hopefully we'll have him back next week. You know, it's just hilarious. He's out again after a bad showing in the NFL pick'em. But make sure you subscribe to our iTunes. Excuse me. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. All right, I mentioned it during the break. The Michigan Wolverines, my Michigan Wolverines, lost to Ohio State over the weekend. I was distraught. Ray and Will were texting as I was in mourning.
We were texting because we were talking about how the game played out.
It was a big game
and it lived up to the hype.
It was a sloppy game.
But still, it was a close game, double overtime. It was one of those games to remember. Put it that way.
It's one of the games for me to forget.
At least Michigan is so much more competitive now. You gotta take the positives out of it, bro. A lot of people said that in the media, specifically, I hate just generalizing and saying a lot of people, but that Jim Harbaugh played not to lose, being up 10 in the third quarter. But you're on a roll, hostile environment, rivalry game. Why would you, gamble or why wouldn't you play a little more conservative with a nice lead on the road,
The game changed when Hooker got that pick six, when Spates threw the interception within, I want to say, Michigan's 10-yard line or something like that. He threw an interception. It was pick six, scored a touchdown. That's when the game changed.
You just can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
The defense, you're right. You can't do that. The defense dominated. The Ohio State couldn't move the ball at all. And then you just do that. And now the crowd is back in the game. If anything, play conservative. But Spate, it just happened too constant. Like, he would throw an interception within striking range for Ohio State to score. He'd throw an interception right there. And then Michigan's defense, you put him in a jacked up situation. To me, I put the loss. I know Jim Harbaugh is mad at the officiating. I put the loss totally on the quarterback. I know it's hard to say that, but that defense really played well and deserved the win.
Go ahead, my bad.
No, I'm sorry. They deserved the win. And they brought that fire and passion. They put pressure on Barrett nonstop. Barrett wasn't comfortable. But if you give a team confidence and you let them stick in it, that's what happens.
Well, that's the biggest difference for me is that Barrett is more he's more of a mentally tough guy than your guys. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Spade. You're right. Spade,
but
you're right.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, experience. JT Barrett has this experience. He's bounced back in the past when he's not been performing well. Showed some guts in an earlier win this year against Wisconsin. That was, to me, one of their marquee wins, Ohio State. So a little bit more of a battle-tested guy, and that's what made the difference.
Yeah, I totally agree. Did this game live up to the hype?
Yeah, I said that when we opened this segment, that it lived up to the hype maybe it's because we're older than a lot of these kids that are playing currently. We've seen some more heated and more competitive Michigan State Ohio State games. Mm-hmm. So yes, in comparison to the Tyrone Wheatley years, of course this isn't the same. But the rivalry now is, I think, becoming more competitive with Jim Harbaugh now in the picture, and I think Ohio State knows it. Also, some of these recruiting wars they would have, Ohio State is now not going to win those as easily as they did in the past, if you ask me. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out as time goes forward. I don't know how long Jim Harbaugh plans to be there, but it seems as though he's there to stay. Urban doesn't seem like he's going away. So I think it's going to get better and better as the years go on.
I agree. I agree that it will get better. This is added fuel to the fire. But at the same time, a win against Ohio State would have definitely helped out the recruiting war for Michigan. I think a loss still gets you that little saying that, you know what, if you had that kid in the borderline and that recruiting war state of Ohio, where you can get a Michigan player, I think now they'll lean more towards Ohio State rather than Michigan. Now, Jim Harbaugh has done a great job recruiting, and I think he'll still continue to bring some of the better talents in the country to Michigan, but when you're going against Urban Meyer, I just think that Jim Harbaugh may lose out on some of those recruits because they lost this game. Because you know, Meyer can say, you know what, Michigan hasn't beat us in a while, and I've let it down on I've laid it down on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines.
No, I think Jim Harbaugh has a good recruiting ploy if it comes down to that, and that's mm-hmm. we're getting closer. Trust me. Most would say that Michigan had that game. They had the game in control. So, trust me, Jim Harbaugh's closing the gap in both the competition aspect on the field and in recruiting.
All right, man. We missed the opportunity to talk about Andre Ward, Sergio Kovalev last week.
Sergio. Yeah.
That's all good.
That, now, you're talking about Fight for the Ages. You're talking Sergey. About something that lived up to the hype. That fight did. And I know it's been a while now since the fight actually occurred, but hey, we're going to talk about it because who talks about boxing in the media these days besides Max Kellerman?
That's true. You listen to Urban Sports saying for ages, you dig deuces.
Brian Kenny.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Eddie Kuja with a triumphant comeback. But tonight, don't call it a comeback.
Anyway, man, you saw the fight. Andre Ward defeated Kovalev in unanimous decision. All judges had it.
114-113.
You
right?
know it. I actually had it. That's actually what I had. But I mean, I know we talked about it before this show, you know, in our free time. But what did you think of the fight?
Well, it was a great fight. And when the fight initially ended, I said Andre Ward lost. The knockdown, made the difference. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the decision came in and Andre Ward was declared the winner. I think it's good for boxing. I think it's good for these two fighters financially. It's good for us, the fans, to see a rematch. However, again, I thought that Ward lost initially, but And going back and looking how Andre Ward, a smaller guy, less powerful, doesn't have the reach advantage, started going to the body and just showed his boxing skills. Just it was a work of art the way he, you know, took those last, I want to say, 4 to 5 rounds. And I disagree with Harold Letterman, who had like Kovalov winning a landslide. He's the person that everybody pays attention to.
Of course, that's the
fight.
Problem. That's the problem.
So that's why I mentioned it. But looking back at the fight. Again, I thought Andre Ward showed more skill and more heart, although Kovalov hung in there.
Kovalov did.
He hung in there when, you know, he struggled, mm-hmm. you know, at the tail end of that fight.
Yeah, he got tired. Yeah,
we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, my issue about the people who stated that, you know, Kovalev, you know, that, excuse me, that Kovalev got robbed. I have an issue with that statement, and Max Kellerman said the same thing. There are a lot of swing rounds in that fight. Other than knockdown, there was a lot of swing rounds. They weren't. I mean, Kovalev had some definitive rounds. I'm not taking that away from him. But there were a lot of swing rounds, especially towards the second half of that fight. And you can easily see, you can easily say that Andre Ward won most of those rounds. You can easily say that Kovalev won most of those rounds. But they're swing rounds. So that means that it can go either way. So, and then we both agree that Kovalev got tired towards the end of that fight. And Andre Ward showed the heart of a champion towards the end of the fight. And we always talk about in any sport, it's all about closing time, right? You know, Jordan making a game-winning shot to win the game to win the NBA Finals. Or, you know, Kyrie Irving step back Jay against the Golden State Warriors. He closed it. He closed it out. Well, champions close things out. That's what you expect. In the late rounds when you're tired and both of them slugging at it, going at it, a champion closes things out. And Andre Ward showed it. You know what? I got dropped early, and it looked bad for me. But you know, I regrouped, I got my stuff together, and within those championship rounds, I competed in every round. While Kovalev was just getting tired.
By the way, it was great to see Andre Ward get hit.
It was though. It really was.
The last show we had when we discussed this fight, I think Will T, who is our kind of our boxing guru, mm-hmm. he said, "I don't see
Kovalev hitting
Kovalev being able to hit him." And I said, it would be great to see. The whole time, you know, as we're looking at the undercard, which was terrible, by the way.
I thought it was terrible.
I was saying, it would be nice to see him get hit. And everybody was saying, I don't think he can. He never gets hit. And it was great to see that. But it was also great to see him show that resolve and bounce back. So I'm looking forward for part two, which is going to be next year sometime. That is probably going to be the most anticipated fight outside of a possible Triple G and Canelo.
So do you think... if you were Andre Ward, would you fight him again?
Yes, absolutely.
But give me a reason why. Is it money?
Outside of money? And also, you have to show that this wasn't a fluke. A lot of people are questioning this victory. I don't like Kovalov saying it's because he's Russian. Get out of here. You've been making money in the U.S. all the time with U.S. judges. Shut up.
Yeah.
And are you going to fight him in Russia like this is Rocky? No. There's no money for that. For you going back home to fight Andre
totally
Ward.
Agree,
so it doesn't make sense. So that argument out the window for me. I didn't like that. But again, if I'm Andre Ward, I show that it wasn't a fluke. And go back and do it again. And I think also fighting him the first time, it kind of gives you a feel for what he brings to the table. You're going to be prepared for his jab. And I think he'll go to the body just like he did in his first fight.
Oh, I agree. And you mentioned it. The most important thing is money, man. And I think
absolutely.
This fight is important because of money. And, you know, for Andre Ward, it didn't make that much money in terms of the first fight. But the second fight is golden to make money because now you're going to get those casual boxing fans to watch it because they heard all about what happened in the first fight.
And if Kovalov wins this fight, who else is there?
Exactly.
So this was a good loss.
Seriously, it was a good loss. Anyway, man, we're about to wrap this show up. It was a pleasure doing the show. Always a pleasure doing the show with Ray and my homeboy Will T when he's here. Even though, again, he's decided not to be here because he took an L when it comes to us three in the Pick'em Challenge.
Absolutely. Still love you, Will.
We still love you, bro. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? A Mega, lead us out, homie.